Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Firstly, thank you very much for accepting my invitation and accepting to be on my show.
That's okay.
So I've gone through a profile. I can see you're doing a lot of work, so I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Okay.
So can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
So, my name's Karen Boone. I work for a company that manufactures and installs ground source heat pumps called Kenza Contracting. And we are really doing good work because we are alleviating people from fuel poverty and helping big organisations achieve their decarbonisation targets. We're saving the planet at the same time, so it's really good.
So the second one that you're doing, which is called a social service.
We work in two main sectors. One is domestic housing, so we retrofit heat pumps, we remove gas boilers and storage heaters and install them, and then we're also really heavily involved in the new build sector. So the UK government have decided to ban gas boilers in new builds from 2025. So we're talking to a lot of big housing companies about installing ground source heat pump arrays so that they can get around the fact that they're not allowed to have gas anymore, because we are ultimately going to run out of gas. So what the heat pump, the networked heat pump arrays, they draw the heat which is already in the ground, which is of course free, and they distribute it around the building or the housing estate in the same way that gas would do. But obviously it's a lot better for the planet.
So what are the benefits of it?
The benefits of it are it's hugely cost saving. So the end user will be able to spend a lot less money on their fuel bills, because essentially the heat is free. We're not, we, you know, you don't get charged for it. So you're only paying for the electricity that runs the pump, which is very nominal. The other benefits of it are that it's good for the planet, because there's no chemicals, there's no harmful side effects. It's not as dangerous as gas. I mean, you know, if you have a gas leak in your home or in the street, that's very serious. But if you hit an underground pipe for a ground source heat pump array, all that's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of water, and then it will get fixed. So huge benefits.
So your construction project manager.
Yeah, so I'm a construction project manager, so I get involved in liaising between the client and the contractors, making sure that all of their work is compliant with CDM regulations, and also all of the other construction regulations, of which there are many. And then just making sure that the project gets delivered on time, on budget, that any challenges are dealt with accordingly. Because obviously construction needs to be closely managed, because it can be a dangerous place to be. So we'll have to make sure that we're working together and making it safe for everyone. So it's quite a lot of responsibility. And then it's always good at the end of the project to see how happy people are with their new technology. It's great.
So how many projects you have done?
So for this company now, I've just completed my third project. The first one was domestic housing retrofit. That was 270 flats in three tower blocks. That was about 111 boreholes in the ground. So that was the biggest. Then I've done one for a council, which again was retrofit. That was a smaller old people's home. That was 15 boreholes and 29 properties. And the one that I'm just about to finish is for a new build luxury retirement village, and that was 30 boreholes. I think there's 84 plots. So three in total.
So, how much experience do you have total in construction?
So I retrained as an electrician about 14 years ago. So I ran my own electrical company for 11 years, and I really, really enjoyed that. But as I was getting older, I decided that I needed to move into something less physical. But obviously, I gained a lot of skills and knowledge doing that job, which is helping me to do this one. So 14 years in total.
So I can see you have your own company.
Yes, called Cheese Electric.
So how is that now? It's 10
Well,
years, 11
I
years.
don't get involved in that so much anymore because I now moved over to the heat pump side. So I don't do as much electrical work as I did. And I can see that I'm probably going to phase that out.
So how is working between clients and the contractors?
Really good, actually. I try and foster a culture of teamwork because if we all work together, then usually the project runs a lot more smoothly. And for the most part, everyone wants to achieve the same outcome. So it's usually really good.
So working for different projects, how is that?
Oh, I really enjoy it because no 2 days are ever the same, no two projects are ever the same. I get to meet a real good variety of people who all come from different backgrounds, so we're always learning from each other. Really enjoy it.
So you said you have a lot of skills. What are those?
Yeah. Well, I like to think that I'm very empathetic, so I am quite good at conflict resolution. I'm also good at putting a project program together and making sure that it stays, stays within the time frame. There's quite a lot of orders that have to be placed for materials, so we have to make sure that we stay on schedule with those and that everybody knows what's going to happen when and that we're always ready for the next phase.
So, as a project manager, as a construction project manager, what kind of challenges that you face and how you solve them?
So we had an incident on site a few weeks ago where the groundworker went through a gas pipe. So we have to stop work immediately, make sure that all the residents are kept away from where the leak is. We have to contact the gas board and get them to attend as an emergency. Have to make sure that the public are kept safely away from the zone because we can't have anything flammable. And then the very next day we hit a water pipe. So we had to make sure that again, we got the water company to attend as quickly as possible and that all the residents had access to fresh water. So that's just a couple of the challenges. And then the next day we found a suspected pile of asbestos in the ground. So asbestos is extremely carcinogenic, so we had to stop work, inform everybody. We had to get a specialist asbestos company to come take a sample. And then once it was identified, we had to stop work while that was being removed. So there's always challenges, and you just never know what's going to happen next.
So, as a software engineer, I'm curious to know how you make your engineers to make your project done on time.
It's all about having a program. It's all about having the program set up correctly at the beginning and making sure that you've allowed contingency. Making sure that you have regular project meetings, ideally once a week, with all the contractors involved to make sure that there are no unforeseen challenges that are coming up. And then if you find out there are challenges coming up, you need to find a way to work together to resolve those as quickly as possible. So it's all about staying on the program.
So, do you observe constructions in other countries?
No, I've only ever worked in the UK.
So just asking, I'm curious to know, do you observe and do you see the difference?
Well, not construction as a whole, but electrics, for example. I think the UK is one of the most heavily regulated companies when it comes to electrical safety. I have been to other countries and witnessed some very shocking electrical installations that that would never be allowed in the UK. So I think that we are one of the most safety conscious countries when it comes to construction.
So, like you said, you have a lot of skills. How these people skills you developed?
Yeah, well, I think running your own business, you have to have people skills, and working with end users that are ultimately residents for local housing or own their own housing, you have to make sure that they feel confident that their wishes and needs are being met. And obviously it's my job to fill in the gaps in between and make sure that everything gets done in the most efficient, cost-effective, and timely manner.
So, how do you manage or overcome the natural disasters?
I don't think I have never experienced a national disaster other than COVID. COVID was very interesting because it affected what we could do and where we could be. However, construction wasn't as affected as a lot of the other sectors. I think that's just because things had to keep going, and we had safeguarding, we had safe distances and things like that, but at the same time we just carried on with it.
So, do you have any particular project that you wish to do?
I would really, really, really like to do something like install ground source heat pumps at Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle or, a really famous building. I'd really love to do that because I think that could be interesting and fun.
So, starting from nothing and giving the end product to the client. So, what are the things that will be involved in it?
What other things that will be what, sorry?
Involved in it.
Involved. So the first thing we have to do is have a project program. We have to know what our timescales are so that we can work backwards and decide when we need to start on site. Then we'll need to have a program for the drilling, because that will dictate nothing can happen until the drilling phase is finished. So we always allow a certain amount of time per borehole, but this will always be affected by the geology. So in the UK, our geology is so varied that we never really know exactly how long that's going to take. So we have to factor that in. Then we also have to do what's called an OXO report, which is to check for unexploded bombs. So in the Second World War, because the UK, especially where the big cities were and manufacturing was bombed so heavily, we have to make sure that we're not going to be drilling into any unexploded bombs. So we get our geology report, we get our OXO report, and we put our project program together. Then we appoint contractors. So we'll, get quotations from our preferred contractors. And then we'll mobilise the drilling phase, and then we'll work out a delivery schedule for all of the other components that are needed on site. And then, like I said, we usually have a weekly meeting to make sure that we're keeping the program on track and deal with any challenges that arise. Usually on retrofit, it's not so bad. The program usually stays as the program. But on new build, we can be affected by a lot of other things like supply chain issues, ground workers, lots of different things can happen on a new build. So again, we have to make sure that we're all communicating regularly.
So apart from being a professional construction project manager, as a human being, how satisfied you are with the service that you are doing for humans?
Really satisfied because I know for a fact that the job I do makes a massive difference. It makes a difference to people because they won't be in fuel poverty anymore. I mean, our utility bills in the UK are very high, to the point where people won't turn the heating on because they can't afford it, which is very sad. And the other thing is, because the heat pump technology is so green, I'm also saving the planet at the same time. So, yeah, I am really satisfied that I'm making a big difference.
So, do you see how the construction work that you are doing or the projects that you are involving that is going to impact the global community?
Absolutely, hugely. Yeah, heat pump technology has been around for actually hundreds of years, but it's only just been recognized as something that can be viable going forwards. And yeah, it's going to be a really big thing. So we're going to network heat pump arrays are going to be the fourth utility alongside water, gas, and electric. So we're going to be rolling that out imminently, and you're just going to see heat pumps overtake the sales of boilers within the next 5 years.
So you was involved in electricity before. Now you are into construction. So how do you define two persons in you doing two different works?
Well, electricity is still a big part of construction because everything needs power. I mean, you think about what you've got in your home. You know, we've got computers, we've got phones, they all need charging. Everything needs charging. Your TV needs power. You need power to cook. You need power to heat. You need power to wash. So yeah, electricity is a massive part of construction and always will be, because I don't think that we're going to find an alternative to that. Not in my lifetime anyway.
So, how your previous work experiences are helping you to do and be a great project manager today?
Yeah, so well, obviously when you run your own company, you are automatically a project manager because you have to do everything. So you have to do the sales, you have to do the client liaison, you have to do the marketing, you have to do the purchasing, you have to do the invoicing, so you have to do the finance. So really, running your own business successfully, you'll already naturally have all of the skills that you need to be a project manager because you'll have been doing them whether you realize it or not.
So, how many people you have reached with your work?
Oh, well, Kensa, as the Kensa Group, which is the company I work for, there's about 200 people. So I network with about 20 other project managers at the moment. But that's gonna grow. We are recruiting because we need more people because we've got more and more projects coming up.
So, for doing different projects for different clients, how many in that way, how many people you have reached?
About 20.
So how it is working with different people?
Yeah, it's good. We've all come from different backgrounds. We've all got different skill sets. We come from different sectors. Yeah, but ultimately, all within construction. I mean, construction is huge. It covers so many different areas. You know, construction is everywhere. It's houses, it's offices, it's hospitals, it's you know, airports, it's everything is construction. It's absolutely everywhere.
So we as a Homo species came from the forest and created a social world and building shelters and living in it. How is that? And you're being the main reason for doing this service for a lot of human beings.
Yeah, it's good. And also, I think another good part of the job is we're always learning, we're always finding new materials to use as well. Technology helps a lot with that, but also we have to think about sustainability. We have to think about mining. We have to think about how many trees we're cutting down. We have to think about all of these things because otherwise we're going to run out of resources, which is why we're coming away from gas, because if we don't, we're just going to run out of it. And then, we need to have an alternative, obviously.
So, are you a good resource manager?
I think I am. Yeah, I'm very conscious of renewables and how we can be more greener in what we use. I don't like to waste things. I like to try and recycle as much as possible.
So, you're logical and also emotional when it comes to management.
Yeah, but I think that all comes along with being compassionate. If you don't have any emotion, you can't be compassionate.
So working with engineers and learning from them, how is that?
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, every day is a school day. Every day I learn something that I didn't know the day before. I mean, 6 months ago I'd never heard of heat pump, didn't actually understand what it was or how it worked. So now, that's more knowledge that I've gained. I've now got lots of knowledge on drilling and excavation, which I never had 6 months ago. So yeah, we're always learning new things.
Any particular experience that you cannot forget?
Yeah, so I mean, the deepest hole that I've witnessed being drilled is just under 300 meters. So to put that into context, the Eiffel Tower is 350 meters, so it's quite a long way down. I actually have a tape measure that will measure 300 meters. So it was very memorable putting this tape measure down this hole and watching it sink all the way to the bottom, and it was 300 meters. I was like, wow, that's a long way.
And is it possible for you to give exactly what client needs?
On a construction project,
Yeah.
the client needs the project to be delivered on time and on budget, and hopefully as stress-free as possible. The less stressful it is, the better it is for everybody, because it's hard work. So it's all about, yeah, on time, on budget with good communication, and that's pretty much the dream.
So I saw in some of your photos you're driving some vehicles. So how is that?
Yeah, really good. Yes. So I went on a plant training day, which was really good fun. I got to drive a dump truck and a digger and a telehandler. That was really good fun, actually. Very empowering. Yeah, and it makes you realize how what a skillful role that is. It's not as easy as it looks at all. But yeah, I'd love to do that again.
So, do you work with software guys?
Yeah, yes. Work with lots of software, spreadsheets, usually for accounting purposes, Microsoft Project, Microsoft Word, and obviously Google for communication.
So, how these technology services are helping your project management?
Oh, massively. Like I say, we always put a project program together, so being able to do that in MS Project is really good. And yeah, we use that daily also for updating. We need to make sure that we're on budget, so we use accounting software to make sure that we're not overspending. So we're always referring back to the laptop to make sure that we're on target.
So the youngsters who are coming out from the college or the university, who wants to become construction project managers, so the reality, the practicality, they are still not yet experienced. So how do you explain them about the college and the real world?
Well, the best way to get experience is work experience, really. So, potentially in the very near future, we'll be looking at creating some apprenticeship routes for people, so that they can get work experience alongside extra training. That's probably what we'll do.
And coming to budget management, so how good you are on it?
Yeah, good. Yeah, and obviously the software really helps with that. We've got a really good logistics department, so all of our purchase orders get logged on the system. Then, as a project manager, you just have to review the report once a week and make sure that all of the costs have been accounted for and have been charged for.
And how do you manage different aspects or different factors which are involved or connected with construction?
I think you've just got to always be fluid, and you've got to expect things to change, and you've just got to stay on top of what is changing and deal with it accordingly, really. Again, that will come down to good communication, making sure that everybody knows what's happening so there's no surprises.
So as you mentioned, change. So change is constant. So how you are able to be adaptive to the constant change that is happening?
You just have to expect it and not be surprised by it and adapt whatever you're doing to accommodate it. So, yeah, I think I'm never surprised when things change because that's the way of life. You know, no 2 days are ever the same. Nothing stays the same. Everything always changes.
So you are no more into electricity now.
No, not really.
So what do you want to share anything with my audience from which my audience can learn from you, the content that you share or the work, the service that you provide?
Well, yeah, if you've never heard of ground source heat pumps, then do a bit of research. They can be installed pretty much anywhere where there's ground to be drilled into, and they will revolutionize the way you look at your energy usage, because it's so much more cost effective. Yeah, and just have a think about anywhere where you think that could be viable. You know, a lot of the big organizations out there have targets to meet for decarbonization and all around net zero. And this is a really good way of helping people to achieve that.
And to my UK audience, also to the global audience.
Yeah, so globally, again, heat pumps are already big, certainly in America and Canada. The rest of the world, I'm not so sure. And then the other big thing, of course, is solar technology. So wherever you are, and if it's a hot country, that's another thing that you should really look at investing in because it's very cost effective.
So how can we save this ecosystem and by being one of the species on this planet, how we can be responsible and be collective to give the same planet to the next generation?
Number one, I think it's we need to waste less. One of a good way to do that is to recycle, but also to buy less. You know, I think we live in a very busy culture, and also we expect things really quickly, which obviously has an impact on the planet because it just means that our transport system is gridlocked in all these parcels going from A to B and back again. So yeah, waste less, buy less, and just maybe think about how you can have a more positive impact.
Definitely, your words will impact. So, at last, what is your observation about my work?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great that you're bringing this awareness to people through your channel. Yeah, I'd never heard of it before, but I think it's great.
So I did master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm doing some DevOps engineering projects and software development projects. And I'm working for a UK company, for a London company, right now remotely from India. So me, apart from that, that's my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm trying to communicate with different experts like you who are into different parts of the world, who are into different countries and who are into different professions. They can be doctors, police officers, lawyers, or technology experts who are working in different companies and different levels and different coming from different backgrounds, are having different experiences. More than 100 countries experts I have interviewed in last 2 3 years, and I'm presenting it, including the space technology called NASA. I also interviewed the people who worked in NASA. Just want to know how they are working and what technology they are using in order to communicate with the satellites, with the things which we sent from our planet. So
Yeah.
just I'm just curious to know and trying to present to my audience. So with this global communication system that I've created, I'm presenting great experts through one platform. How this is going to impactful for me in my coming career, and also to the world who will be watching and listening to this.
Brilliant. Sounds good.
So how this is going to helpful for me?
Well, your mind must be full of really interesting facts because you've met so many interesting people and get to chat to them about their work. So, yeah, it's fascinating.
I wish your words about the planet and about the construction and the things that they need to put in their mind in order to make the planet positive. So if it reaches to maximum number of people, if it changes maximum human beings, I'll be the happiest person, and you'll be the reason for that positive change.
That's great.
So
Lovely.
do you want to share your web links with my podcast listeners? Can you spell it?
Which link, sorry?
Your online presence, social media.
Yeah, certainly. My Twitter is at she's electric underscore UK. And yeah, I do have a LinkedIn account. So if you just Google Karen Boone, that will come up.
I'll put those links on the screen, also description in this video, on my website as well.
Oh, perfect.
People who finds me on internet can able to find you.
Oh, okay, lovely. Thank you.
Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Yes, of course.
Also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yes, of course.
So keep going, Karen, and keep inspiring people, and do great projects, and be the reason for the positive change in the world.
Lovely, and you too.
Thanks,
Thank
Zane.
you.
Bye.
Bye.